Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Thank you so much for having me here this morning. It's great to be here. What a privilege to be here in the new venue. This is looking fantastic. Really exciting to have seen you guys every kind of step along the way. I'd like to be here more often, but sadly, I'm mostly in Horsham and Crawley. And my name is Colin. I know you guys have Pastor Colin come down here quite often and speak. I'm not the same Colin, if there was any confusion. In case anyone was thinking that I'm just on some radical new diet, you know, ylang ylang, quinoa and monkey glands, I've lost 50 years in the last 2 weeks. I'm looking great. No, I'm a different Colin, just to clarify. I work with our new people across the congregations. I work with PJD and with Andy. I still work with you, Andy. it's a great privilege to be here. And I always like to try and introduce myself by letting you know something about myself, so that later, if I get to say hello to you, we already sort of have a bit of rapport because you already know something about me. Lenny, would you mind bringing over that box for me? Maybe this would be a good time to get that microphone. Great, thank you very much. So I brought something with me, and I want to let you guys into a little secret about me this morning. I'm 30 years old. Thank you very much, John. I'm happily married, and I'm not scared of the dark or anything like that, but I do have something to admit. Excuse me a moment. And that is... Seamless. And that is that even though at 30 years old, happily married and not scared of the dark or anything like that, I still sleep with my teddy bear. He's a bit shy, bless him. This is Bernie. Say hello, Bernie.
Hello, Bernie.
he's a little bit shy, bless him. So we just be quiet for a moment. Just maybe we tease him out. It's okay. So I still genuinely sleep with my teddy bear. Now, he's called Bernie because he was from Bern in Germany, and I got him when I was, like, less than a year old. So he's nearly as old as me. He's looking good for his age, isn't he? Yeah. It's that ylang ylang, quinoa and monkey glands cocktail that he's been having every day. But, this is my bear. Has anyone here got a special teddy? You do? You still do? You still have one? Well, can we have a round of applause to be able to admit it? Proud of our bears. You've got one as well. Has anyone? What's yours called? Grocery monkey. What's it called? Nursery monkey. Okay. Wow, that's a really lovely name. I thought it was grocery monkey. I thought, wow, maybe really likes onions and carrots. This is Bernie, and he's as old as me. And I was thinking, you know, somebody else I know around here who's a real big fan of teddy bears, and that's Pastor Jonathan. You know, I actually found this photo on Facebook of Pastor Jonathan with his cuddly teddy bear. I may have photoshopped that somewhat. just a little. But doesn't he look cute? Doesn't he look cute? The teddy. But yeah, you might be wondering, why on earth have I got a teddy bear with me? Because my teddy bear is very, very precious to me. I would be very, very upset if anything ever happened to Bernie. Although, having said that, if you look at him, you might think he's a little bit worse for wear. I mean, you can see where his eyes are sort of like scratched a bit and he's got no fur on his nose. Apparently that was when I was really young. I liked to grind his face against walls. But I love him really. I don't know why I do, you know, like 3-year-old boy just like grinding bears' faces against walls. But yeah, I love him really, and I dearly love him. And if anything ever happened to him, I'd be very sad. And it reminded me of a time, a long time ago, when I was growing up, where my next door neighbour, he and I would be best of friends one day and worst enemies the next. Anyone ever had a friend like that when you were growing up? Best of friends one day and the worst of enemies the next. And I always thought, like, what if he ever got hold of Bernie?
Oh, no.
Can you imagine? Be like a da-da-da moment. I walk around the corner and I see him there, probably holding Bernie in one hand. And maybe in the other hand, let's see, what have I got here? Maybe in the other hand, holding one of these. And he's like, got it to the bear's head. And he's like, one step closer and the bear gets soaked. Actually, I grabbed this out of the loft. I don't even know if it's even got any. Oh! Apparently it does. Excuse me. It does have water and it is loaded. I'll be careful where I point this. So, can you imagine if I walk around the corner and he had the water pistol to the bear's head? He's one step closer and the bear gets soaked. Can you imagine my fright? Suddenly I break out in a cold sweat. I look at Bernie and I see in his eye just a small plastic tear. He's scared for his life so much, but more just like getting really, really soggy. And anyone ever had a really soggy teddy bear, they smell awful. And so I'm thinking like, no, please, don't, not a step closer. I'm backing off. I don't want to do anything. No sudden moves. I don't want this to go down the way I don't want it to go down. You know, this could get messy. This could get very soggy teddy bear. So I take a step back and I said, no, it's okay. What do you want? What do you want? And he says, I've got a ransom. If you want to see this bear dry ever again, then you need to give me all of your Easter eggs. Scary moment, scary. What do you do? What do you do? It's sort of like an wow, wow, wow kind of moment. You know, like you just see like a small tricycle blown by the wind across the middle of the road while we stood there. You know, cars backed up either side trying to get into their driveways while we have this standoff. What do you do? And so I'm stood there and I'm thinking, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. I can't let anything happen to this bear. If this bear gets soggy, he is never going to smell the same again. And let me tell you, after 30 years sleeping in my bed, he has a very distinct fragrance. And I don't want to lose that. That is the smell of my bear. And no one's going to want him other than me because of the smell. I can't afford to get this guy get wet. So I say, okay, no, hold on. It's okay. Just don't do anything rash. I'm just backing away. I'm just reaching for the egg. And I reach into my rucksack and I take out my exceedingly overpriced Lindt chocolate egg. I know they're exceedingly overpriced because my wife demanded one. therefore, I had to get one. I did actually a couple of years ago buy her an Easter egg, but I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I know she really likes Lindt chocolate. So I just spent all the money you would have spent on a really overpriced Easter egg on loads of Lindt chocolate and a cheap egg. So I thought, she has an egg, and she has loads of really nice chocolate. No, that does not count. That does not count. How could you possibly think that would count? This is not a Lindt Easter egg. But you have more Lindt chocolate. It does not count. So apparently that's not okay. And so this year, I just got the biggest chocolate Lindt Easter egg, the most ridiculous overpriced thing you've ever seen in your life. And she was happy, and that made me happy, and it was all okay. Lesson learned. Don't try and think this out with logic. That never worked. No, I love my wife. She's a lovely and very logical person. But anyway, where were we? Okay, so I hand over the Easter egg. And it's like one of those moments of like, Bernie comes towards me, and the Easter egg goes towards my next door neighbor, so I won't point this at you. And there's that moment of the exchange. He snatches the egg, I snatch Bernie, and I give him a big cuddle and a big kiss. Don't. No, you didn't see that, okay? And I've got my bear back, and all is okay. All is okay. I wouldn't have risked it, you know, I wouldn't have risked it. I would give anything to get my bear back. You might think, this is a little bit silly, why are we talking about bears? Because this is Easter Sunday, why are we talking about bears? But all will be revealed very shortly. First, I thought we could watch a little movie that also has a bear in it, that also has a story of a sort of a ransom. Now, this is a movie, you might think I have some kind of teddy bear obsession. I don't, I promise you, I'm a normal, regular guy. And anyway, we made this this video, short video, about a super-powered teddy bear for one of our kids' groups a little while ago, and I thought you might enjoy it. Can we have the video, guys?
Sent to Earth as a baby to avoid the destruction of his home planet, he would come to be known as the savior of all mankind. His name? Baby Bear! Adventures of Baby Bear, Episode 52, Baby Bear and the Runaway Train. So far, nothing has fazed our bearskin-covered hero, but what will happen when he faces his most deadly enemy yet, the giant evil alien space lobster, Barry? What evil deeds will Barry get up to this time? It appears he is writing a ransom note.
Dear Baby Bear, I have kidnapped your girlfriend Because I am even. Even you cannot save her now. Mwahaha! Yours sincerely, the evil alien giant space lobster, Barry.
Oh no! What danger could she be in? She's on the train tracks! Will Baby Bear ever get there in time? Quick, Baby Bear! Well done, Baby Bear. How could we ever doubt you? But watch out, Barry the Giant Evil's alien space lobster. Baby Bear is coming for you next.
Find out what happens next time on
Adventures of Baby Bear.
So, if you want to watch any more of the episodes of Baby Bear, we also did a whole series on Baby Bear grills as well, then you can head over to YouTube and check it out at youtube.com/J247TV, I believe. We made that just for fun, but it was all about a ransom. And again, you might be thinking, what has teddy bears got to do with Easter? But it's not about the bears, it's about this one word, ransom. Now, if you could sum up what Easter Sunday is all about, and about what the cross was all about, Good Friday, and you sum it up in one sentence, it would probably be this, that Jesus paid our ransom. And you're thinking like, what? I've not been held for ransom. What are you talking about? But it's like this. We're not talking about like somebody who's come and kidnapped you and taken you away and tied you up. But we're talking about what's happened spiritually. Now, this is, in fact, exactly what's happened. I'm going to need a couple of volunteers for this. I've got anybody who is willing, without having a clue what I could get you to do, who's willing to be a volunteer. Yeah, come on up here. Fantastic. Somebody else, one other person. Chan, well volunteered. Up you come, Chan. Thank you. Thanks, Chan. Now, one of you, let's see, which one looks really cute and lovely and which one looks like they could play the part of someone horrendously evil? It's a toughie, isn't it? It's a toughie. Chan, you're going to be the evil one, I'm afraid. Okay. So, what's your name and where do you come from?
Mariam.
Come from England. Very specific. Thank you. Okay, now, Mariam, I should have asked first. Are you okay? You might get a little bit dusty. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm a bit dusty. Because what happened to us, right, is the devil. Now, the Bible calls the devil a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It also says that he's a liar, and it also says that he's like a captor who has taken prisoners, taken people captive, and made them his slaves. And this is what we're going to demonstrate this morning. Now, I've got some more bits and bobs in my box. Here we go. This is what I'm after. Now, this could take a little while to use all of this up, so we maybe want to use all of this. Chan, as our evil, you're going to play the devil. Could you just give us like a bit of an or evil? Okay, any similarities are purely coincidental, okay?
Careful with calling
up, please. Okay, so we're just going to tie you that up. Is that okay? It's okay. Well, Chan is, because I'm not. I'm nice. I wouldn't do that. But Chan's just going to tie you up. Here you go. Here you are, Chan. Just, like, keep going. Maybe don't make it tight, because we don't want to have to call an ambulance or anything. So just keep tying up. There we go. Now, what happened, the Bible says, is that the enemy, this captor, has taken people prisoners, taken people captive, using this rope of sin. Now, sin, you might think, like, what is sin? Sin is a funny word. It's not something I really understand. Or maybe sin is for religious people. But sin is just the word that is given for the stuff we do. Make sure she can breathe. That's just for show, yeah? Okay, great. Just checking. But sin is the word we give for the things that we do that are against what God says, that are things that are bad. Now, God isn't like this spoil sport that says, okay, don't do this, and you better not do that, and better not do the other. He's like a loving, good father who says to your kid, don't put your hand in the fire, you'll get burnt. So the things that God says don't do are because they're really bad for us to do. But nevertheless, this sin So the Bible says that so easily entangles us, this snare, this trap, like this rope that gets us all tied up. Okay, just keep going. This rope that gets us all tied up. We all do. So, Mariam, I'm going to ask you, be really honest here, on behalf of everybody else, if I ask you really honestly, have you ever told maybe one lie or ever cheated somebody or stolen anything or maybe even... Of course I have, okay. You know that moment of like, you know, never work with children animals because of, no, never. Thank you for your honesty. But could we all agree, one point I have lied or I have cheated, I have stolen or, yeah, okay. And that stuff is this sin that so easily binds us up. And the devil, he like wraps us up in it and it makes us his slave. Now this isn't like a Cinderella kind of style slave, like, you know, Cinders, go and do the washing up, please. Load the dishwasher. Could you clean the windows, please? My car needs doing. You know, this is not that kind of like cooking and cleaning, that kind of slave. This is the kind of slave where the thing that we are enslaved to is the sin. So it means we're wrapped up in this rope, which represents every lie that we tell. And we can't escape from, we just keep on lying. It might be the lies that we tell to a grown-up, to a mum or a dad. And we say, oh, I didn't do that, or it was my brother, or it was my sister. It might be the lies that we tell to a husband or to a wife. It could be fear. It could be the stuff that we're scared of I hope they don't find out. I hope my boss doesn't find out, JD. I hope that that people don't find out what I'm really like. I hope I don't lose my job. I'm scared of getting sick. I'm scared of death. I'm scared of what will happen in the future. What if I can't pay my mortgage? I'm scared of whatever it might be. I'm scared of what happens when I go to my new class. What if nobody likes me? That we get in this thing that ties us up. All of this bondage, this sin, it keeps us in a place where we can never get free of just constantly telling lies, being fearful, being caught up, whether it might be anything from addiction, from something, from chocolate, to something far worse. It could be all of these things, but it's this stuff that tangles us up and gets us stuck. Right. Now, we just watched a video about a tiny baby covered in bear skin who had superpowers, just like any everyday, ordinary event, okay? And he had a plan to rescue his girlfriend, Bella Bear. And he used his superpowers to go and save Bella Bear. And in a similar kind of way, Jesus, though he is not a covered in bear skin, superpowered bear, he did use his power to set us free. And we're going to look about what that looked like and how he did that. Now, I've got one more thing in here. Now, if you imagine the kind of kidnapping that you might see in the movies, usually it comes with something. It comes with a ransom. Chan, how much are you ransoming Marion for? How much do you want?
Ferrari.
You're worth a Ferrari. Wow, not bad, not bad. Okay, let's find out how much. I want you to imagine for a second, not in a scary way, but let's just imagine for a second that someone was demanding, if you want to be released, then someone's got to pay money for you. How much are you worth?
You pull a Ferrari.
Yeah. Sorry, I left. Yeah, I left. It was just in the garage, getting more speeds added. I brought my Peugeot this morning, but it does do 0-60. But anyway, eventually, imagine that someone was demanding a payment for you. How much do you think you were worth? Like, how much do you think someone might pay you? If your family had to pay you or something like that. Like, let's start the bidding at £100. I don't think they'd be worth £100. Hopefully everyone would say yes. Someone could pay £100 for me. What about a couple of hundred? Well, yeah, a couple of hundred, yeah. Going once, going twice. Colin, a couple of £100 over here. What if we went up a bit more, a bit £1,000? A couple of thousand? 10,000? 100,000? Do you think someone would be willing to sell their house and give everything they had, maybe a few hundred thousand, to pay for you for your release? Hopefully, we would say yes. If you're thinking, no, nobody would, then I've got news for you. Somebody would, and they did. Yeah. But nevertheless, what about £1,000,000? They get the biggest loan that they can. Everybody that they know, all clubs in, all sells their house, all houses, gives everything that they have to pay for you, for your freedom. What if it was £10,000,000? Because that is what I brought with me today. Ma'am, do you think you are worth £10,000,000?
No.
Oh. My dear, you so are. Where can I put that? Put that up there. So, whole wad of cash, Do you think somebody... But Chan! Chan, I think you're playing this part a little too well, some may say. I told the bank that I would have this back by tomorrow, so it better all be there. So what if somebody offered, you know, a lot of money? What if Chan turned around as the captor and said, "Psh, what's this? Rubbish. Nowhere near enough." What if you just couldn't, no matter everybody you asked, everybody that you knew, you asked everyone, you put all of your savings in, you said, "Please let me go, I'll give you everything that I had." But you just can't get out of where you're stuck. And in fact, it's kind of worse because this trying to get out, can you just try struggling out those ropes a little bit? Oh, Chan's towed those pretty well. Just gets us tangled up more and more. The more we try and do it ourselves, the more and more and more and more we get tangled up. But this is where Jesus comes in. So Jesus, from the very beginning of time, had a plan. So it's not like he suddenly one day thought, "Oh, do you know what? I think I might get around to setting these people free now." Every single one of us, every one of you and myself, we were in this position before we knew Jesus and he rescued us, or you are in this position if you don't know Jesus yet, if you've not asked him to come and rescue you. And we were stuck in our sin, all tangled up. But Jesus came from the beginning of time. He said, "I've got a plan to set you free." Right. Now, this plan sort of boggles our minds a little bit confusing. Like, how does this work? How does this work? Jesus knew that the ransom on our life that he wanted to pay was so great. He wanted to pay the highest price, so high that even Chan couldn't ask for more. He would just see like dollar signs in his eyes, like ching, 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 ching. You know, like someone pulled like a big lever on the side of his head and there's like a fruit machine and it just goes lights up. Wow, this is amazing. Nobody could pay a higher price. You know, this price that Jesus decided he would pay would be so high and above any ransom that could be asked for. That it would mean our freedom forever. That never again could we ever do anything bad enough. This sin that so easily tangles us up, never again could we do enough sin to like rack up a high enough bill that this first payment wouldn't cover it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine owing somebody a debt and someone pays your debt off and no matter how much you kept borrowing, it was always paid off. Now probably, hopefully you would learn from your mistake and say, "Okay, I don't want to get myself in that position again. I'm not going to keep borrowing when the debt's been paid. The debt's been paid, so I'm free, so I'm not going to keep borrowing." In the same way, Jesus paid for our sins. We don't want to keep getting ourselves tangled up. But nevertheless, this payment was so vast. And he realized the only thing, what's the most precious thing in all of the universe, more precious than anything else, more precious than any amount of money or anything else, he realized there couldn't be anything more precious, could there, than the life of God himself. And so God... He became a man in Jesus. The fullness of God became man in Jesus. Because the only way that God could die was to become something that could die, was to become a man. And so Jesus went to the cross, and he died. And he shed his blood in dying, and that was what paid for our ransom. And so this ransom payment was enough to completely, let's see how easily we can I unravel you?
Oh,
let's see how far we can go before we get really, really dizzy. This is going to be a bad idea. Okay, I'm just going to unravel you. So this payment of Jesus was enough to completely set us free. Do you think you can step out of those ropes there? Well, look at that. It just falls away.
Amazing.
You don't need those shoes anymore. It's okay. Great. Let's have a round of applause for our willing volunteers. Thanks, Chan. Yeah, you can sit down too. And these bondages, these cords, these ropes that wrapped us up, this sin was completely done away with, finished with. That is it. And we might think, but Jesus, why would you pay the ransom? It's like me with my teddy bear. Like, why would you give it to him? Shouldn't you kind of stand up to this bully and say, "Hold on, you can't do that," and take the bear back because he never should have been yours in the first place? Well, this is where Jesus kind of blows it all out of the water. Because I think at the point where Jesus died on the cross, the devil was there going like, "Ha, I did it! I can't believe he fell for it! He actually gave up his life! God is dead! God gave up his life for you lot! Oh, what an idiot! Can't believe it! You lot, you're not worth anything!" And God gave up his life. I bet the devil was well happy. He was doing like a little dance around, like, yes. Little did he know that that wasn't the end of Jesus' plan. It didn't end on Good Friday. It ended today, when 3 days later, the tomb was burst open as Jesus came back to life, defeating death itself. But he still, at that point, I think the devil would have been like, wait, what? No! You know, just mind blown. What's happened here? Because Jesus didn't just defeat the bully and say, no, this is not okay. He did that, but he also, for our sake, paid the ransom. He did both. He defeated death. He defeated the devil and set us free. And he paid our ransom because he wanted every single one of you and me to know you are worth it. There's this story in the Old Testament which I really love. It's just a little short bit in one chapter in the book of Genesis, right at the very start. And it's about this couple called Abraham and Sarah. You might have heard of them. I am the God of Abraham.
Abraham.
Those three. Thank you. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There we go. Oh, got it out. And he was called the father of nations. And he and his wife, Sarah, they had a long and happy marriage. Very happy. They had a lot of children. And right at the end of their life, when Sarah passed away, Abraham wanted to buy a field and build a tomb to honor his wife. He wanted to show her, even in death, how special she was to him. So he went out to find a tomb to buy, a field to buy and build this tomb. And there's this lovely bloke called Ephron, okay? And Ephron has a field, and he hears that Abraham, another lovely bloke, is looking for this field to buy. So he says, hey, I'll just give it to you. I'll make you a great deal. I'll give you this gift. And Abraham, he doesn't even think about it. He just immediately, his reply is a respectful no. I don't want some bargain basement, 2-for-1, buy one, get one free, winter sale kind of bargain, give it to me on the cheap. Because my wife isn't worth that. She's not worth, I'll do a deal. Great. Oh, yeah, I can just get her buried and done with. Brilliant. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll marry somebody else now. That wasn't his thought at all. His thought was, no, I'm not going to cheap out and get a great deal. I'm still going to spend the full amount because she's worth the full amount. I don't want to give out of my, like, just, well, I've got loads, so it doesn't cost me much. That's great. I want it to cost me something because she's worth it costing me something. Yeah. And I love just that, the love of a husband who refused to take a deal to honor his wife. He wanted to pay the maximum. And it was just this picture of what Jesus did for us. He says, I refuse to just pay the minimum to let you off. I refuse to just give you a bargain or a 2-for-1, or maybe if I buy PJD, I can get Seren thrown in for free. You know, he didn't do that. He said, I will pay my fullness, everything I have, the most precious thing in the world, for every single last one of us. And that just blows my mind. So we're going to have a chance to respond to Jesus this morning, because the Bible says that this is true for all of us who want to take hold of it. It's true for everybody, but if we want to take hold of this and say, Jesus, I recognize that I'm this person wrapped in sin. I've just struggled with lies, with fear, with temptation, with stuff that I just don't want to do and yet I keep on doing, stuff that's bad for me, whatever it might be, that I just feel like I'm locked up in this place and I just need a rescuer. If you're that person, we're going to have an opportunity to respond. I'm going to ask the band to come up because we're going to sing a song as well as part of this response that declares what Jesus has done. But before we sing a song, I would like to ask all of you to stand with me. And respond to Jesus. I'd just like to ask you to close your eyes. I find there's nothing special about closing your eyes. I just find it helps for me at least, to block out any distractions. And nobody's looking at you. You just can have some time to concentrate on Jesus. And let's just picture ourselves right now as that person being held captive. Whether this is what you were or it's what you are, if you haven't asked Jesus to rescue you yet, this is where you are, that you're bound and you're tied up. And there might be even something that comes to mind immediately where you're like, yeah, that's the thing, that thing particularly. There's loads of stuff, even little things to the biggest things, but this thing I just keep doing. I know it's not good for me. I know it's binding me up. I know I need forgiveness. I know I need to be clean. I know I need to be made new. If you're that person, then I want to give you an opportunity right now just to ask Jesus, Jesus, would you rescue me from that? Would you set me free? And you can pray a prayer. A prayer is just talking to God. There's nothing special. There's no, you know, closing your eyes and bowing your head and putting your hands in a certain way and folding your fingers or anything like that. It's just talking to God. And he listens and then he'll talk to us. And I just want you, with your eyes closed right now, just if that's you and you know that you need to be rescued, I want to give you the opportunity just to talk to Jesus right now. And you might say something to him that sounds something like this. Jesus, I need rescuing. I recognize that my sin, that stuff that I've done wrong, has got me all bound up and I can't escape. But Jesus, firstly, I want to say I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for getting so tangled up and doing what you said is wrong when you only wanted the best for me. Jesus, right now I choose. I want to give my life to you that you've bought me. I thank you and I accept right now that you have paid for my ransom and you've chosen to set me free. You've defeated the devil in my life. And I want you, as you're praying that, to just see those cords, those ropes being cut straight down the middle, being completely broken off and burnt away. And as Jesus just right now starts to speak to you, reveals himself to you, as he's been doing through what we've been talking about today, through the service, Jesus revealing himself, he says, I've set you free. You are mine now. Never again to be yoked, to be tied up with this slavery. You now belong to me. You're free. The next person maybe, and if you've prayed that, that's brilliant. And I want to hear from you in a little bit if that's you. But maybe you're a person and just you've been hearing about what we're talking about today and you just think, I'm not worth that. I'm not worth somebody paying a couple of grand for me, let alone God giving his everything. I just don't feel worth it. I want to tell you this morning, you are worth it. Who are you to argue with God? If God has said you are worth it, who are we to say, but God, I'm not. He has said, the God, the creator of you and the whole universe has said, I choose to give myself on your behalf because you are worth it to me. You're worth my all. And again, let's just pray right now and just say, Father, maybe we could all pray this because I'm sure none of us realize quite how much we are worth to God. Father, please forgive me where I've cheapened myself. And in doing so, I've cheapened your sacrifice. Father, would you show me how much I am worth to you? And let me live with my head lifted high because I know what my value in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And lastly, if you've been somebody who's known that Jesus has set you free, he's paid your ransom, and you're a Christian, you know him, but you feel like, do you know what? I keep getting tangled. The Bible says this sin that's so easily entangled. I just keep getting my foot caught in those ropes. I know Jesus has set me free, but I keep going back, and I keep going back to this thing that keeps just causing me to trip up. The Bible says it's like a dog returning to its vomit. It's a disgusting thing, and we know it's gross, but just like a dog that goes back, it's a horrible thing, but kind of there's something inside you just feel like I can't help it. Then let's pray right now. Let's on the Easter Sunday, this day where we celebrate that Jesus defeated death and defeated sin completely, let's say right now, thank you, Jesus. I am free. Free indeed. In you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to, right now, before we sing this song and we celebrate everything that Jesus has done, I want to ask, is anyone here who prayed that first prayer? Would you mind just putting your hand up? I just prayed to Jesus the first time and asked him to rescue me. Is there anybody here? I want to give you, just, I'm not going to ask you to come out or anything like that. I'd just love to have a chat with you afterwards and just celebrate with you because it's the best decision you could have ever made. I want to give you one last opportunity. Is there anyone here? Just slip your hand up. Okay, great. That's awesome. So I think it probably means that everybody here either knows Jesus already, or if you don't, I would love to talk to you regardless afterwards and just find out about your story and your journey. Did anyone pray that second prayer? I'm asking you to be really brave here. Okay, brilliant. We all know our worth to Jesus. Come on. Awesome. I had to pray that, by the way. I had to pray that. Did anyone pray that third prayer? Just like this, just something you just, I never want to go back to what I walked in before. Yeah. probably every one of us, I guess, because we all still make mistakes. We all still need Jesus every single day. But thank you, Jesus. Right now, let's just thank him and praise him. We're going to sing this song and celebrate him and thank him for what he's done in setting us free. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.